This week, we'll be meditating from Matthew 13, chapter 3 to 9 verses and 18 to 23 on parable of sowers. Thank you, Uncle, Baba Uncle, for the beautiful introduction of the parables of Lord Jesus. We all know parables that Jesus spoke from the New Testament. Even Prophet Nathan, Prophet Isaiah, they spoke in parables. But we'll be meditating on our Lord Jesus' parables. Especially Uncle introduced parable is nothing but the familiar definition for the parable of a parable is nothing but it's earthly stories, but with heavenly meaning. We'll see what this parable of a sower it talks about. The key words from Matthew 13 chapter, it is about he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is from the 9th verse of 13 chapter. So we'll see who is the hearer and why we should hear to this parable of Lord Jesus. From the scripture portion, Matthew 13 chapter, we'll start from 3rd verse. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We all know Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher and also is the best expositor who can explain about this parable. 9th verse is, who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then the illustration, what Jesus explained from 18th verse, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. 22nd verse. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We'll have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this blessed time, Lord, to come to your presence, to your feet, Lord, to listen to your word, Father. Lord, give us ears to hear you, Father. Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to treasure all those deeper truths, meanings of kingdom of God in our hearts and rejoice in them, Father. Also, Lord, draw us close to you and help us do your will while we are on this earth, Father. Thank you, Lord, for everything and ask all these things in the mighty name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before going to the original parable of Lord Jesus on the sower, importance of the kingdom. After Jesus, after 30 years, after he got baptized and then he caught up to wilderness, 40 days he was there, and then his ministry, three end of ministry, right, completely wherever he goes, Jesus and his followers, early disciples, all the 11, 12 disciples, including Matthias. Wherever they go, they talk about the kingdom of God. Matthew, he refers, it is kingdom of heaven, but the synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke, right, talks, it tells that is kingdom of God. So the importance here is, one by one, we'll be meditating on the importance and then the ingredients of this parable of sower and detailed explanation of each ingredients, and then different kinds of spiritual fruit that mentioned in this scripture portion. and then how it applies to our lives, Christian lives, and then summary and conclusion. Before going to the importance of God, Daniel, Alexander Kurianakul already he mentioned while, but the Lord's Prayer, right? But the Daniel 2:44, Bible says like this, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kings, all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the one Daniel prophesied, and even Jews for the long time, 2000 years back, Jews, right, they were waiting for the Messiah, looking for the king and his kingdom. But Jesus came as not as a king. The first coming of Jesus, he came as a lamb. And then he explained all the plan of the kingdom of God, and then the all the revealing truths about the kingdom of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God in his first coming 2000 years back. After the baptism, preaching and teaching, everything, it looks like Warren Wiersbe, he mentions 1/3 of recorded preachings of Jesus Christ, right? All about parables only. It teaches about kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And then mainly he talks about the characteristics of the coming kingdom. Jews rejected Messiah, Jesus Christ, as king of Jews, but from the Matthew 13:1, it says, let's go to Matthew 13. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by a sea. Since they rejected Jesus Christ, here the house means it's the Israelites. From the house of Israel, he went out. It's nothing but he sat on the seashore, means he is giving all these mysteries and revealing truths to the Gentiles. Since they rejected him, that made him to give all these things to the Gentiles. That is from the Matthew 31. And then we will see the original physical kingdom of God when he comes back in second coming, millennial kingdom, and then the everlasting kingdom. The main ingredients are three, but there is one more invisible ingredient which we cannot find in Matthew 13 chapter. That is nothing but the master. Master means whoever gives the seed to the sower that we cannot see, but sower on his own, he cannot go. Somebody has to give him the seed. So mainly the three ingredients are sower, seed, and then soil. One by one we'll be meditating. Who is the sower from this scripture portion, Matthew 13 chapter? Matthew 13 chapter is a very, very important chapter where it talks about seven parables. So especially since it is involving, it is directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ, is very, very important. Matthew 13:37 says, who is the sower means, in which Jesus explains, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. It's nothing but directly, it is Jesus Christ. He was sowing on the land of Israel, Judah, during that time, 2000 years back. He sown the seed to different kinds of people. And then this is nothing but his personal autobiography, his own autobiography, and also the transcript of his personal experience he's mentioning here, Jesus. But not only Jesus here, and also whoever gives the gospel, proclaims the gospel, nothing but Christian, he's also a sower. So whoever carries the word of God, whoever gives the gospel, they are the sowers here. Christians means followers of Jesus Christ. Christians means they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Greek, it is known as mathetes. It came from the word mathematics. Who learns? These mathematics are all the teachings from his master. They are called Christians. Since the Antioch people, the first Antioch people, they were called Christians. So whoever listens and follows clearly the teachings, and whoever walks in the footsteps of Jesus, they are called Christians. What is the seed? The second ingredient. The seed is the word of the kingdom from Matthew 13:19. And also, not only in the Matthew 13 chapter 3-9 and then 18-23, even this parable of sower, it mentioned in Mark 4th and Luke 8th chapter. Seed is nothing but from Luke 8:11, it's the word of God. The gospel of the kingdom, which was the theme, Jesus, wherever he goes, he mainly sticks to this theme, and then he he gives that gospel of the kingdom to all the people of Israel or wherever he goes. It was also an important element of apostolic preaching. Acts 8:12, it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. In the same Acts 28, chapter 30 to 31, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received Paul, who came to him preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Now we know what is who is sower and what is the seed. Seed is nothing but the word of God. And then the third ingredient is what is soil and types of various soils. Soil is nothing but it's the heart of the listener. Probably Jesus Christ, why he compared the heart of the human being, heart of the man with the soil is man, he created from the dust. So that is the reason probably in this illustration, given heart of the listener, whoever listens, anybody that time, 2000 years back, listeners are now are the future listeners, everybody right there, nothing but the soil. So there are 3 bad soils here. Some are wayside, that is nothing but hard-hearted people. And then the second type of bad soil, the seed fell in the stony places, that shows a shallow heart. And then the third bad one is among the thorns, crowded heart. And then the fourth soil, I just split it, but it's only one soil. But there are, if we split it right, there are 3 good soil. The seed fell in good soil with 100% productivity, 60% productivity, and 30. Totally, it is 3 plus 3. As Baba Uncle mentioned, parable is nothing but keeping aside, keeping the 2 entities or multiple entities and comparing each other. So here we have 3 plus 3, 3 bad soils and 3 good soils. We can compare and see how it is related to the heavenly meaning. And also parables are nothing but they are the mirrors. We can see ourselves directly strikes us. Directly we can see in that mirror. And also parables are nothing but they are windows. We can look into that windows, kingdom of God and also our life. Brother, as he prayed, it's an eternal life. Jesus' words, everything that it gives us life. We can see through these parables, windows of the parables, kingdom of heaven. The wayside, the first soil, wayside, the soil represents one who hears and does not understand. Most likely, these are the ones who have hardened their hearts prior to hearing the word. The birds here represents the wicked ones. Or Luke 8:12, it clearly says it's nothing but devil. When it fell in the this bad soil, wayside soil, immediately it comes, birds, they come and they snatches away the word of God that fell in this wayside soil. Who snatches away the word of God? Those who hearts are hardened. Why their hearts are hardened means 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. The head of this world is Satan. Their condition, therefore, is one of being binded by Satan itself to the gospel. You give any number of illustrations, you give any number of stories, and you tell from your personal stories, unless their hearts are opened by God, they cannot listen to us. They listen, they pretend to listen, but it will not go inside. There will not be any root. And then, while Satan contributes to blindness, it is precipitated by their own hardness of heart. And the second type of soil, stony places, second soil. The soil represents the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. That is from Matthew 13:21. And when real tribulations or persecutions arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Some hear the word and receives it with great joy. But since there is no root, they are not grounded in the word. When troubles arise, there is no endurance or stumbling occurs. This is an emotional approach. Since they do not have strong foundations, when the real problems in their life or if any persecution because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, if it arises, right, immediately they turn back. These are all second type of soil, that is stony places. And then the third soil is among the thorns, nothing but these are the weeds. This soil represents one who hears the word, whose ability bear the fruit is choked by 3 things, the case of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and pleasures of life. How these 3 thorns can cause us to be unfruitful? The cares of this world means Luke 21st chapter 34 to 36. It can cause us to be unprepared because we are focusing on different things. We have different priorities, our office work or families or whatever it is, that makes us not to be prepared. And then evil in cares and anxieties is that they can distract our minds from what is truly important. That is from the Luke 12th chapter 29 32. The deceitfulness of riches, the danger that is described in 1 Timothy. Could you please open 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10? I would like you to open this scripture portion from 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is root cause of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith of their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then the second one from the same 1 Timothy 6:17, how evil in riches lay in diverting our attention from the God, feeling self-sufficient. That is from the 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all these things. So this is the deceitfulness of richness. Even that distracts us, and then our focus will get changed. And then the third one is pleasures of life. Those involving the flesh in particular divert our minds from the things of the spirit. There is always contrast between things of spirit and things of flesh. There is a fight between those two. How these things of the flesh overtake the spirits, things of the spirit, and all we can see in Galatians 5:17. Galatians 6:7 to 19, sowing to the flesh make it is impossible to reap of the spirit. Finally, the good ground. This good ground is nothing but it represents the one who hears the word and doesn't understand it, indeed bears fruit and produces. Luke, he adds that he hears the word with a noble and good heart. This is not there in the Matthew 13 chapter, but Luke 8 chapter, right? It contains noble and good heart. And then he keeps it, bears fruit with the patience. And then those with a noble and good heart, then are the ones who will understand the word, who will keep it with patience and produce fruit in their lives. They will be like the Bereans, you know, Berean church. Even Apostle Paul, he comes to the church and teaches, right? They note down everything, the reasons, they note down, they go to home there, and then they search the word, the scripture. Receive the word with all readiness in their heart, search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were correct or not. The good illustration, the good example directly that Jesus Christ deals is nothing but a Samaritan woman from John 4th chapter. When on the way to Galilee, Jesus, right, he visits a city called Sychar. So there, right, he meets a Samaritan woman. We know how sinful she is, but Jesus, he nicely deals and he sown the seed. But immediately, right, she protects by arguing with the church, the temple and the Samaria or the temple and the Jerusalem. But Jesus, right, instead of arguing with her, immediately, right, he tells, he cultivates her heart by asking her who is her husband. But honestly, she says, I do not have an husband. So that way, right, Jesus Christ gives her the true living water. And then how immediately that got multiplied, that was fruitful, right? Immediately she goes into the city, Sychar city, and brings all the people. I met a savior, prophet, who is telling all about me. Come and listen to him. So not only listening to her, they directly came and listened to her, and they all became fruitful. That is the seed that is fell on the good ground. So that's a good example. And one more good example is Ethiopian eunuch. When he was reading Isaiah 53, he did not get what it was. So though he was reading, since he did not get anything, but the angel, he spoke to Philip, the disciple Philip, right? And then he goes to Philip, and he sat along with him in a chariot, and he explains who is that suffering servant in Isaiah 53. After listening to Jesus about Jesus, right? He preached about Jesus and eunuch. He listens, and then immediately he became a fruitful. He takes the baptism and all. These are all the seed fell on the good ground. And then importance of understanding in relation to bearing fruit. So the good ground, right, always gives the fruit. Jesus made the connection between these two. Nothing but understanding, hearing and understanding the word of God and then giving the fruit. Paul also connects these two from Colossians 1:5-6. Paul connects the two when writes the gospel, introducing fruit among the Colossian church, since the day they heard this gospel, right? NLT says understood. They heard and then they understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of the God in truth. So there also he connects these two, understanding and the bearing of the fruit, Apostle Paul. When one understands, they will more likely to bear fruit. The key to understanding is having good and noble heart, that is willing to listen and learn. Important observation is that not all will bear the same fruit from this chapter, Matthew 13, the early portion of the Matthew 13, some 100, some 60, some 30. How we have to understand that one is, it depends, the Lord, he gives based upon our capability, our skillfulness, he gives based on that, right, the fruit it will be. So that we can see from the parable of talents. He gives the owner, the master, he gives 5 talents to one, 2, 1, and then 1 talent. So all depends our ability, right, that gives the fruit. And then there are different kinds of spiritual fruit. I'm running late, 2 minutes. Winning the souls to Christ Jesus. Romans 1:13, Apostle Paul writes to Romans, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. So one kind of spiritual fruit is winning souls for Christ. And then the practical holiness. So though the world is going one side, right, Christians, means whoever heard the true gospel, the seed fell in the good ground, right, they will be separated and completely, they prefer the holiness. Nothing but separated from the worldliness. But Romans 6:22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness at the end, everlasting life. And the third type is sharing the material things. Not only they keep themselves, whoever needy, right, even they share the material things by observing or by speaking with them. Immediately they have that responding heart. And then the Christian character, we all studied about the spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, meekness, all these 3, 9 delicious flavors, right? It reflects in the Christian character. That is also fruit. And then good works, after believing Jesus Christ, right, automatically our heart will become compassionate and we'll be towards the good works. Colossians 1:10 says, you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then the last one is fruit of our lips, praise and witnessing also. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There is a fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then application, where are we from this parable? As I mentioned, parables are mirrors. Directly, it speaks to us. We should not take them as offensive. We have to correct ourselves by listening to it. Where are we from this parable? Are we wayside, or stony places, or sound side, or good soil? What is our attitude towards the word of God? What is the condition of soil of our hearts? What fruit has come from our lives recently? Are we helping others to bear fruit? And then summary and conclusion, Matthew 13 chapter whole, though it is having 7 parables, I literally counted 20 verses, right? 15 times they mentioned about hear and hearing. So now we can understand how much importance they're given for the hearing. It's the direct channel to our heart, hearing. And then listener, here the hero and the villain is listener. Whoever hears the word of God, right? If they are good grounds, means they will become fruitful. Otherwise, right, they are the unfruitful listeners. It shows the quality of the heart of the listener. And then the kingdom of God is nothing but it gives the revealed truth and the mysteries of the heaven. And then the last nothing but the prophets Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all right, that they know all this coming kingdom of God, but they never realized the qualities and characteristics of the kingdom of God. We are very blessed, Matthew 13:16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and the ears, for they hear. Assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteousness men desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear, did not hear. We have the privilege to hear this parable of Lord Jesus. And then also whoever the real listeners on the shore, right, when Jesus was speaking, they're also very blessed people. And then the contrasting things here, unfruitful, we see wayside and then stony places seeds, and then seeds fell among thorns. And then the good ones are 100% productivity, 60% productivity, and then 30%. So ultimately, my father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit and show that you are my disciples. When we show that fruit and if it is bearing much fruit, 100%, 60%, 30%, definitely our God, he will be pleased and also he will be honored. He who has ears, let him hear. All glory to God. All glory to God.